morning I want to speak on the subject, He Went Away. He Went Away. My title comes from verse 22 of Mark chapter 10, where the Bible says, "And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." The he, of course, is talking about the rich young ruler. He was young. He was rich. Probably cultured and refined. A very moral person, because when Jesus mentioned some of the commandments, he said, "Well, I've kept all these since I've been a young man." So a young man that had many, many good points. I mean, this would be the kind of young man, if you had a daughter that was the age to get married, you'd probably say, "Hey, here's a fine young man." But I believe with all my heart this morning that this young man is in hell because of what he did. He went away. He went away. I want to mention several things to you this morning. Number one, he came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. It said there in verse 17, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him." I would remind you this morning that nobody comes to Jesus except the Holy Spirit draw him. In John chapter 6, verse 44, the Bible says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him." So every time somebody that doesn't know Christ looks up, every holy desire that might come across their mind, every thought of goodness, every aspiration for a better life, it doesn't come from this heart that's full of sin. It's the work of the Holy Spirit in a person telling them and reminding them and drawing them to God. And the sad thing is, when the Holy Spirit comes to most people, they ignore him. I mean, there's been recent studies, and I don't have any numbers to quote to you, but I've read a couple of different times in a couple different places that the United States of America is the biggest English-speaking mission field in the world. The biggest English-speaking mission field in the world, and it's because people in the United States of America, I think, reflect what's happened in this young man's life. God has blessed us in this country so much that we've forgotten where our blessings come from. And when the Holy Spirit draws us to the God who has blessed us, we ignore him. We ignore him. You are here this morning. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, I want to tell you, you're here this morning because the Holy Spirit drew you. The Holy Spirit got you in this place this morning. You listened to that call that was in your life. You listened to that urging of the Holy Spirit. And he drew you, and you're here this morning not by accident. You're here this morning because you listened and you came as the Holy Spirit spoke. Second thing I want you to notice is how this young man came. The Bible says he came running. Now again, he was a ruler. He had a position in society. He had rules of conduct to follow. I mean, there was a certain way that he had to act because of his position and his title. But he put all that aside. When he heard Jesus was in the way, the Bible says that he came running to Christ. And I believe he came running because he realized what he needed in his life. Perhaps he had heard Jesus preach or teach before. Perhaps somebody had been to one of Jesus' preaching meetings and he'd come back and said, "You won't believe what the teacher told us today. You won't believe what he preached about today." And the message that came to this young man grabbed a hold of his heart, and he realized that he was a sinner. He realized that he was separated from God. He realized that he was headed for hell. And just like any of us would do, when danger is near, if we're smart, we'll run. I can remember, it's been a few years ago now, somebody came on our back deck. And we were laying there in the middle of the night, and Debbie heard it before I did, and she said, "Hey, I think there's somebody on our deck." And I said, "Are you sure?" And she said, "Well, I'm not sure, but I hear a noise out there." And I said, "Well, why don't you go check it out?" And she punched me harder and said, "No, you're the man. You go check it out." I said, "Why don't we just leave?" But when danger's around the corner, I don't know about you, but most of the time, I just soon run. I mean, if there was a wild lion out here, you wouldn't find your pastor out there. I mean, we've had bats in the church. And some of you have been here when there have been bats in the church. And I go into my office and pray and leave the bats, getting rid of the bats to somebody else. But look, when we're in danger, one of the natural tendencies is for us to run. Here was a young man that realized he was in danger. He had gotten the message from God that he was a sinner, that he was separated from God. And he didn't want to waste any time. He came running to Jesus because he thought Jesus had the answer. The Bible said in that same verse that we read, verse 17, and he kneeled to him. I mean, he was a ruler. Usually people knelt to him. But again, on this particular day, he came to this one and he kneeled to him. I mean, he got down on his knees in front of this teacher, in front of this preacher. Again, he was a ruler. What usually happened was people took this position in front of him, but not this day. Not this day. He came running because he realized he was in danger, and he knelt before one that he thought could help him. And I'll tell you what, better to kneel now than to do it later. Better to kneel with hope than kneel when all hope is gone. Better to kneel before a Savior than before a King. Better to kneel before the cross than to do it before the great white throne judgment. The Bible says there will come a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Now listen, it'd be a lot better off if we do that right now. Don't wait. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do the same thing that this young man did. You realize that hell is real. That you are in danger of going to hell. You come running to Christ and you fall on your knees before him. I want you to notice the next thing. He asked the right question. He said, "What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" What do I need to do to get this everlasting life that you talked about? What do I need to do to go to heaven? What do I need to do to escape hell? How do I avoid it? How do I change my destination? What do I have to do to get me out of this state that I'm in, this state of being lost, this state of having no hope, this state of facing an eternity apart from God? What do I have to do to change it? I want you to notice the next thing. He not only asked the right question, he got the right answer. Jesus wanted him to understand and realize what he was asking. Did you notice in the question? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, "Well, you know the commandments." And notice he didn't quote any of the first four. He quoted the last six. He said, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." The last six. The six that talk about how we should treat each other. The six that talk about, that deals with man's relationship with man. And the young man said, and I think he was truthful when he said this. I don't think he was being boastful. I don't think he said it in a proud way. But he said to Jesus, he said, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." He said, I've done all those things. I mean, since I was a young man, my mom and dad taught me how to live. And all those things that you've mentioned, I've done since I was a kid. And Jesus said, well, there's only one thing that you lack then. This one thing that you're missing. I want you to go sell everything that you have, and I want you to give it to the poor. You see, he may have kept the last six, but in that instruction, Jesus was drawing him to the first four, at least three of the first four. First commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And if you want to earn your salvation, you not only have to keep the last six commandments, you got to keep the first four. And the first one of the first four is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You're a rich young man. In order to prove that you love me more than you love money, I want you to take everything you have, sell it, and then I want you to give it all to the poor. And what Jesus was trying to get him to realize is that you cannot depend on what you do to get to heaven. You can't do it. You can't depend on keeping the commandments. Yeah, the Bible says that the commandments came so we would know what sin is. I mean, they defined what sin is. The commandments did. And we are sinful because we break one of the Ten Commandments. And what Jesus was trying to get this young man to realize, yeah, you've kept the last six. You haven't committed adultery, you haven't lied, you haven't cheated anybody. But what about the first one? Do you love me more than anything else you have? Let's see. Take all you have. Go ahead and sell it and give it to the poor. And prove to me and prove to yourself that you love me more than you love your wealth. You will not get saved this morning by anything that you can do. There's not a person here. You may be the most moral person here. You may be the most righteous person here. But there's not a person here that doesn't break one of the Ten Commandments. You say, preacher, you don't even know me very well. No, but I know people because I'm one of them. There's not a person here that hasn't broke or will continue to break one of the Ten Commandments. And you will not get saved this morning by what you do. You're here today and you don't know Christ, you will get saved this morning by what Jesus did for you on Calvary. That's how you get saved. By coming and trusting what he did, what we pictured in the Lord's Supper. You see, when Jesus went to the cross, the Bible says that God put on him every one of our sins. And when he went to the cross, he paid for every one of our sins. That's why he cried out from the cross, it is finished. The payment's done. Nothing else needs to be done. I paid for every sin that every person has ever committed. Paid the price. And he offers to each one of us this morning the precious gift of salvation. Now, the last thing I want you to notice about this young man was that he went away. The Bible says that he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said, hey, I want you to take them all and sell them. And he says, I can't do that. I can't take everything I have and sell it. And give it away. And I think he got up off his knees and he turned and he went away and he walked into eternity without Christ. And if we could peel back the cover of hell this morning and we could recognize people there, this rich young ruler would be there because he went away. What did he go back to? He went back to his money. And maybe he lived fine the rest of the time he spent on this earth. But the moment he died, his money did not mean one thing to him. What did he go back to? Well, he had money. Probably had plenty of friends like the prodigal son did when he had money. But when he died and stepped into eternity, his friends couldn't help him one bit. You listen to me. If there's anything in your life that's between you and God, you need to decide this morning, hey, in eternity, it won't mean anything. It won't mean anything. Quit hanging on to things of the world because they will not serve you when you go into eternity. Can't take them with you. You're going to leave them here. You're going to leave them here. Listen, when Rockefeller steps out into eternity, his money won't make any difference. If the president were to die this morning and he stepped out into eternity, his office would not make any difference. The only thing that will make a difference is what they've done with Jesus Christ. And the only thing that will make a difference in your life is not what you have, not who you are, not what position you have. The only thing that will matter is what have you done with Jesus Christ. Have you received him? Have you told him that you were a sinner? Have you confessed that when you understand that when he went to the cross, he took every one of your sins and he paid the price for them? And would you just come and would you just say, Master, as this young ruler did, Master, I want eternal life. I don't want hell. Tell me what I need to do. And Jesus, as he said here in so many words, you believe on me. You trust me. And I'll give you for that life that you seek. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, that's as simple as it is. I mean, the same gospel that I'm preaching here, Brian is preaching back to the kids in the fellowship hall. And you say, well, it's so easy. Why did God make it so easy? Because God loves every single person, and he's not willing that any should perish. God wants every single one of us to be saved. If you're here this morning, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, you need to do it this morning. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for making the gospel so simple. Thank you for making it so easy for us. We know it wasn't easy for you. We know it wasn't easy for Jesus, but you made it easy for us. And I pray for every single person in this room. I pray for all the children in junior church. I pray this morning as we've heard the story of Jesus again, that as Christians, we'd be grateful for what you did for us. Father, help us to never forget that we were a sinner headed toward hell. And unless Jesus died for us, we'd have no hope. But we have a hope this morning because of what Christ did for us on Calvary. And I pray that person that came in this building this morning that doesn't know that hope, Father, right now they would see their sin. They would see the penalty for that sin. And they would see your love that sent your only begotten Son to take all our sin upon himself and to die in our place. And Father, this morning, help them to put aside everything that Satan has thrown away to keep them back. And help them this morning do what that rich young ruler did. Come running to the Savior, asking the question, oh, I need eternal life. I don't want to go to hell. What do I need to do to get to heaven? And Father, help them to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to you but by him. Help them make that decision this morning. Father, I pray for Christians that are here. Maybe some here this morning that need to come for baptism. Maybe you're speaking to some about joining the church. I pray, Father, that we'd be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray.